Hello everybody, this is Adam Beltane from the Force Majeure podcast, and I'm delighted to tell you that you're listening to Redemption.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system, with Chris Berlew as the GM, and also the droids 11D4 and R3A1.
That helmet doesn't have a hole in it.
Andy Fox as the Botha negotiator, Quinth.
Oh, I guess we're not going to interrogate them.
Kaylee Jung as the Mandalorian, Bree.
It is a metaphorical fog. He's not actually talking about the meteorological conditions.
Mae Coker as the Zeltron enforcer, Zahn.
A box shaped like a gun?
And Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot, Tazi.
The size. It's so much bigger.
Featuring special guest, Adam Beltane from the Force Majeure podcast. Episode 720, A Fog, Part 1. In the Season 7 finale, the crew head off across the Outer Rim towards their cargo run that they have accepted for their new contact. As they land in the dense jungles of Teth, they head to meet their contact, a scar-faced Rodian, and his very curious and surprising cargo. Danger is close at hand in the jungle, but the greatest threat is far, far away.
Ready for the destiny pool?
Yep.
Two light side.
One dark side.
One light side for me.
I got a dark side.
And one light side for me.
So four light side, two dark side. So we see the ship drop out of hyperspace over the planet Teth. What color did we have the ship painted? Because if I'm right, it was like a really bright color, and you guys were going to do something different.
I believe we left that up to Quinth.
Oh, it's a dark teal. Because I figured if one of the names we gave it was the Teal Starrise, then it should probably be teal.
All right. Yeah, we see the ship coming out of orbit, landing on Teth. Teth is a jungle planet. There's lots of spots where you have some rocky ground, very thick, lush vegetation all around the planet. And due to some of the atmospheric conditions, everything has kind of a deep purple tint to it. And the coordinates that you were given, you can't land there. You're going to have to land not too far away and then walk through the jungle to get up there.
I hope everybody brought their hiking boots, jungle gear. We gotta walk ahead of us.
I always wear boots. See?
Then you should be all set.
I also tend to wear boots.
My boots are better.
I like boots. Especially when they have fur. I like boots with the fur.
Boots are standard attire.
Okay, I'm just letting everybody know the coordinates we got, we can't really land at. We have to land away from those coordinates and then, you know, take a little hike, so.
It's not convenient. Oh, well.
Should we be taking a hover lift with us for the cargo?
Probably smart. I don't think we can assume they're leaving one for us.
It's going to be awkward getting it through a jungle, however.
Maybe there's a path.
We can hope.
That's a good point. They probably wouldn't have big, bulky things that would need a hover cart in the jungle. I don't...
My limited experience with jungle cargo pickups is that oftentimes the boxes are the regular size of regular cargo boxes. They're just in an inconvenient place.
Unless they're shipping weapons, then they're usually, you know, weapon-shaped.
A box shaped like a gun?
No, Zon, it's a box that contains a gun. It's more oblong.
I'm gonna go ahead and put the ship down if nobody has any qualms about that. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do that.
I mean, you're the pilot. We definitely would bow to your expertise.
You want us to bow to Tazi?
Well, no. It's more of a genuflection towards his skill.
I'm just gonna put the ship down and putting the ship down.
I will go get the hover cart.
I'm gonna go get my armor on.
Okie doke. I don't have armor to get on, and I already have my boots on, so I guess I'll stand by the door.
Well, make sure it stays safe for us. Thank you.
I'm on it. Zahn runs off.
I'd like to say the camera cuts to the ship getting lowered into a very tightly spaced clearing in the jungle. There's definitely a number of trees being pushed aside by fuselage.
All right, fair enough. Why don't you make a quick hard piloting check?
All right.
And since you've got kind of the purple hue that might throw you off a little bit. Throw in 2 black dice.
I will negate those black dice with my immense piloting skills.
Nice.
Try and keep the paint damage to a minimum.
Yeah, we did just get it painted.
5 successes and 1 threat.
All right.
Nice.
So the ship lands right in the little clearing. A couple limbs snap off.
There's definitely the sound of a tree limb rubbing on the fuselage near the quarters that Quint is in.
Yes. Absolutely.
I picture that there's a porthole in Quint in some of the staterooms, and Quint is looking out at the end of a snapped-off brush that's banging against the window as the ship settles.
Quint just slowly shakes her head. All right. Scratch the new paint job. Whatever.
All right, we're landed. Everything's stable. We should be ready to go. I'll drop the landing ramp, and we can disembark. Everybody meet by the landing ramp, I suppose.
Already here.
Great.
Yep, it is great.
A1 rolls right alongside Atazi as they're heading out of the cockpit towards the back.
This thing's a lot harder to land than I thought. The size, it's so much bigger than the last 2 ships.
Yeah, you're not used to the size, I understand. It happens.
Tee-hee, very funny.
Size doesn't matter, it's how you handle it. I picture Quint coming up on what looks like a Zamboni with a flatbed, but it's hovering. Okay.
All right. D4 walks up. He's ready. He's got his med pack with him.
Should we leave somebody to guard the ship?
Sven's here.
Well, I guess that's true.
A1, did you have a moment to take a look at those security droids that we had deactivated?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I did.
We locked the ship. A1's got his security droids on patrol inside the ship. I think we're covered.
Whoa, wait, you looked at them. Did you activate them?
I'm going to flip over one of these light side points.
Good.
Yeah, I did. Okay, the crew heads off into the jungle. It's a couple of clicks to get to where you have to be. So it's not too terrible far, but going through the jungle is slow and rough, especially with your floating Zamboni.
I picture it's like this type. The jungle is a mix of tropical and like deciduous trees. Like there are some trees that look like they would clearly belong in like a tropical rainforest, but then there's other trees that look like they're like 6 meters around. Like they are just tall pine or, like I said, you know, big trees surrounded by a bunch of smaller trees that fit very much have that rainforest feel.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a little awkward for most people who haven't walked through kind of that purple haze that you kind of get from the atmosphere.
It's real pretty.
What is real pretty?
Everybody watch your step. Watch your step, everybody.
But then we have to watch where we're going. Looking down's difficult.
I mean, it's pretty. It's nice around here, but we also don't know what lives on this planet. Probably not best to step in something that could eat you.
Good thinking.
I mean, not my first get-together here on a jungle planet.
So you've been here?
We spent some time in Rhodia, and, yeah, the Rhodian jungles are pretty thick and smelly.
Well, this one's still kind of pretty.
That's one place I never got to, Rhodia.
Well, I mean, it's still there, so, I mean, you can go there. It's not like it disappeared.
I guess I could.
It's kind of a weird name. Rhodia.
Well, don't say that around the person we're picking up. He's a Rhodian.
Okay. I won't say it around him.
And this conversation fades off as you guys continue walking and trudging through the forest.
Who's leading the way?
Bree is probably going first, kind of breaking a path. If there isn't one. Is there a path already, by the way?
Not this direction. Not anything man-made. You could probably find some game trails through here, but nothing that is really made for quite the contraption that Quint is driving.
Okay.
So yeah, there's moments where the hovercraft gets stuck and you guys have to push and pull to get it out. It's definitely slow going.
Zahn's going to at some point pick up a large stick or break one off of one of the trees to walk with.
Okay. Zahn found herself a big walking stick.
Oh, yeah, Zahn's definitely going to be hitting things with it and poking Tazi and, you know.
Hey, knock it off.
What? No, I was watching out for things.
Well, you don't have to watch out for me. I'm right here.
There was a bug on you. I got it off.
Zahn, what have we said about walking sticks?
Use them properly?
Yeah.
Plus, she is walking.
How much farther?
We are not there yet. Are we, Bree? Are we close?
Please say yes.
We're about another kilometer away.
My boots are getting squishy.
Well, you should have worn waterproof boots.
These are my butt-kicking boots. They're not waterproof.
So you only kick dry butts, then? Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Well, man, I guess you gotta have butts for wet... boots for wet butt-kicking, too. I'm not quite sure where... let's just keep walking.
Okay.
Zahn, do you want to ride on the hover cart?
No, I'm good. I got my stick. I'm walking along. We're almost there, I think.
At this rate, it'll only be another 15 minutes or so.
Thank goodness.
And eventually you guys get to the coordinates, which is just a cave opening.
Not exciting.
Does this feel like a trap to anyone else?
Is there a doorbell?
It feels familiar. I mean, the first time we really, you know, did anything as a group, really, was a cave. Other than the bar brawl, of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
I would assume that there are not a bunch of Empire scientists working inside, however.
Is the cave large enough to pull the cargo platform into?
It's a pretty big cave opening, probably 10 meters across, probably 6 or 7 meters tall. And as you guys walk up to it, you see a Rodian, green skin, very tall and lanky. He's leaning against the left side of the cave. He's got a large blaster rifle that's just leaned against the wall next to him. He's just casually looking down at his right hand. And as you guys walk up, he just waves.
Zahn waves back, very exuberantly.
Hey, Quint, this must be our guy.
Does he have a scar on the right side of his face?
Hey, sir, do you have a scar?
As you get up close enough, yes, he does. He turns and looks at Zahn and turns his head to the side, and you can very clearly see the scar that runs, you know, from the top of his forehead right down the side, all the way down his neck, and disappears into his shirt somewhere.
That's so cool. Guys, he has a scar.
I mean, I feel like a lot of us probably have scars.
Bree steps forward.
Finn sent us. We are your ride, I believe.
He smiles.
Not mine. I brought your passenger here.
Ah.
But I can go no further.
Okay.
Where is our passenger, then?
Yeah, where's the passenger? Yeah, yeah.
He leans his head, kind of pointing into the cave.
You'll find him in there. He is one with the world, I believe he said. I really honestly stopped paying attention to him.
Bree will walk deeper into the cave. A light on her helmet starts shining.
Quintha's going to stay outside on the hover cart and just kind of look around. As she said, this kind of feels like an ambush, and she would like to keep an eye out.
Okay, fair enough. So we watch as the rest of the crew heads into the cave, and you walk maybe 100 meters into the cave.
Is the cave lit, Chris, or is it just light coming in from outside?
Just light coming in from outside, but as you walk up to where you're meeting this person, you can see there is a fire built here, and this person is knelt down, big robes, gray robes all over them, so it's very hard to see anything other than they're kneeling down, head kind of bowed down towards the fire.
Do you think they have snacks?
You can ask them.
Hey! She walks over by the figure and kneels down. Do you have any snacks?
As soon as you kneel down, Zahn, you see a male Chargrian. That is the species that have a blue skin coming up off the top of their head, straight off. They have two long horns. They have two tentacles that come down over their shoulders. And then from those tentacles, it looks almost like they have two more horns coming down, but they're not really horns. That's just kind of what they look like. He has his eyes closed and his hands are crossed in front of him. And as soon as you say something, he opens his right eye, turns and slowly looks at you, Zahn, and then opens his left eye.
Grin at him.
Sorry, no snacks, but I am glad that you're here.
Okay, Zahn stands up. No snacks, but he's happy to see us.
Bree steps up next to Zahn.
I believe we are your ride.
Correct, as I have foreseen.
And he points at the fire.
He's a little odd, Tazi.
Foreseen?
I foresee.
Are we on camera?
Do you not have dreams that tell you where you should be?
have dreams about far off places and, you know, soft jazz music and, old Hollow movies. But I don't have anything that tells me what's coming. Corell used to get those once in a while, I think. Oh, boy.
He smiles and stands up. And he's almost as tall as Tazi.
Whoa.
He walks over, puts his hand on your shoulder.
There's a fog that surrounds your crew.
Well, we're in a jungle right now. I don't know about a bog. The ship's in a clearing. It's a bit of a hike, but it's not too far.
The ground was definitely stable. There is no bog between here and there.
He smiles.
My visions did tell me that this would be difficult, but I can help you, as you are helping me. I can help lift this fog of misfortune and bad luck that haunts you.
Fog. Yes. It is a metaphorical fog. He's not actually talking about the meteorological conditions.
No, I thought he said bog, like, you know, like
the
swamp. I heard
bog as well, so I just figured, you know, jungle, swamp, closely interrelated.
I mean, fog makes much more sense from a metaphorical standpoint, I suppose.
Zahn just nods like she knows exactly what's going on.
Nonetheless, do we need to bring the fire with us? Because that probably is going to be very difficult.
Fire burns.
He smiles.
It will not be necessary.
It's okay, we have snacks.
Do you have luggage or some other cargo you're bringing with you?
I do not. Things just seem to find their way to me when I need them.
That happens to A1.
That is a very lucky skill. Then, are you prepared to leave at this time?
I am, aye. Are you prepared?
I would much rather get back to the ship and stop sweating so profusely, yes.
I mean, if there's nothing else to get, nothing else we have to bring with us, there's no other cargo, just you?
Aye, that's correct.
Well, we brought a hover cart. You can still ride on it if you want.
I guess we can ride back on the flatbed.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We have already broken a trail.
I got a stick.
That's not the same stick as you had earlier, Zahn.
Nah, I switched. Gotta change them up.
That stick goes with your hair.
Thanks.
Let's get you out of this cave and get back to the ship.
Aye, very well.
What's your name?
My name's Syncroc.
Syncroc, but great, I'm Tazi.
It's nice to meet you.
And he holds his hand out.
Tazi looks at it and kind of holds his hands up in a kind of a surrendery type of fashion. He's like, oh, my hands are really, really sweaty right now. I'm good.
Aye, please yourself.
And he looks over at Zahn with his hand still out.
And you are?
I'm Zahn. Zahn grabs his hand.
Shakes it. He turns over and looks at Bree.
Bree is kicking dirt over the fire to try and put it out. And then she turns and looks.
Apologies. Yes, I am Bree, and our companion outside is Quint. Will you meet her momentarily?
Very well.
And as Bree's kicking dirt...
Oh, allow me to handle that.
And he waves his hand, and you see this almost green mist just kind of come over the fire, and it just snuffs it right out.
That's so cool.
Very well.
Bree heads out towards the entrance of the cave.
He follows right behind you.
We get outside. Is the Rodian still there?
Yeah, he's still kicked out against the wall. He doesn't perceive you guys as a threat. He's just kind of relaxing there.
Him and Quint have been chatting a little bit.
Everything good?
Everything seems to be in order. Quint, this is Syncroc.
Hello.
And there appears to be no cargo. Things just happen to appear when he needs them.
Oh. Like with A1?
Probably. He's pretty cool. Look at him.
Well,
he put fire out. With his hand.
Ouch.
No, not touching it, like with this misty stuff.
Alright. Well, we each have our talents, I suppose. So, Mr. Syncroc, you need to get to Tund.
Yes.
Alright, let's go.
After you. And with that, the Rodian kicks the rifle up over his shoulder pretty deftly. And
see you later.
And he heads off in the jungle a different direction than what you guys are going.
Zahn waves bye.
So Quint easily swings the hover cart around. Anybody want to ride on it back?
I mean, we may as well save the energy.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all be able to fit on it. We've cleared a path. quite obvious.
Bree hops up.
Zahn hops on.
D4 climbs up.
Need a hand, buddy?
A1 rolls up next to Tazi. Yeah, if you don't mind.
Tazi does his best to help A1 onto the cart.
Make an average athletics check.
Great. This will be fun.
You can do it.
Oh, you mean that skill I have 2 green in?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So you get your 2 green versus your 2 purple. It's an even roll.
Wonderful. Wonderful. This will be fun. Oh, that's a threat.
Okay. So Tazi slips and falls.
Take a couple strain for the fall.
One,
oh, no.
One little strain. And
well, A1 did fall on me.
Funk.
I'll help A1 up.
Right. Zahn will grab Tazi.
Hey, careful with the merchandise.
You're fine. Sets him on the back.
You said it was 2 purple to lift A1 up onto the car. I got a success and 3 advantages.
All right.
Bree reaches down and helps A1 up onto the cart.
He's up on the cart. And you're heading back to the path. Who has the highest vigilance score?
I have 2 yellow and 2 green vigilance.
That would be it then.
Yeah, 2 yellow, 1 green here. So it's probably Quint. Unless Zahn or Bree can beat.
2 yellow, 1 green.
Got 1 yellow, 2 green.
All right. Make a hard vigilance check, please, Andy.
Okay.
So 3 purple. Throw in a black die because you are steering/driving through the tangled mess of jungle.
I got a whole 2 advantages.
Perfect. So as you guys are heading back down your freshly blazed trail, Quint, you hear a stick snap just as you see 3 people step out wearing full armor, very similar to Breeze, only it is a dark green with black highlights, and they are carrying blaster carbines pointed right at you, and you hear one of them say,
"We found him."
And they all pull their blasters up and aim at you guys. So everybody could roll a vigilance check for their initiative.
2 successes, 3 advantages.
4 successes, 2 advantages.
1 success.
2 successes, 3 advantages.
Okay. One of them gets to go before you guys, mostly because they surprised you. And he pulls up his blaster carbine, takes aim, and he's about to fire.
Can we tell if they're talking about Syncroc or Tazi?
You're about to find out.
Cool. Never mind.
2 successes as the front bad guy jumped out, fired his blaster carbine, and it strikes Syncroc right in the shoulder. And he falls backwards, and you hear him mumbling something under his breath. So, now we're to a PC. Who would like to go next?
So, I'm going to quick draw my heavy blaster pistol, and I'm going to do a quick strike against one of the other 2 that hasn't gone yet.
All right. Fair enough. I'll say it's the one on the right.
Okay.
Keep it easy for me.
And how difficult will that be?
You are in medium range, so 2 purple. 2. And okay. 2 black dice for their defense.
2 black dice. I got 2 successes and a triumph, yo.
Excellent.
Very good.
What is your damage?
8.
Okay. And what would you like to do with the triumph?
Like, I fire my blaster, and it goes right down the barrel of his blaster and blows up in his face.
Okay.
So he gets damage from the blaster blowing up, not necessarily from getting hit by my shot.
Okay. Perfect. All right. We're on to the next NPC. I'm going to go with that. As Quint fires a shot from the right side of your little hovercraft out from the jungle, jumps this 6-legged, about a meter long,
oh no,
giant reptile looking creature with real sharp teeth and a long tail. And he is leaping right towards, ooh, Zahn.
Yay.
What is your defense?
Punch it, Zahn.
0 defense.
Ooh. He got 4 successes with 2 threats. So you're going to 8 damage. Minus your soak. And then what would you like to do with the 2 threats?
Maybe he got one of his little legs stuck between a rock and he can't get it out.
Okay.
Aw.
So I got a black die in his next one. Okay. Next PC.
Are the people in armor kind of grouped together at all?
One's in the middle of the path because he jumped out. One's on the right side, one's on the left, so they're probably a couple meters apart.
Okay.
Because I'm picturing your little Zamboni is probably at least 2 or 3 meters okay. wide.
Bree kind of takes in the ambush, sees the armored figures ahead, to the left, to the right, and then hears Zahn, like, get clawed by this thing. And she turns. I'm going to use quick draw to pull my blasters out of my armor. And I am going to unload into the little critter that is trying to eat my friend.
Okay.
One purple or any... Does it have defense?
It's got one defense, but it's in melee, so it's gonna purple's going to become a red.
Right. As a maneuver, I'm going to activate the bodyguard talent on Zahn.
Okay.
And then I'm going to shoot this thing.
Okay.
So I have 4 successes and 2 advantages. I'm going to use those 2 advantages to fire my second weapon also.
Okay.
15 damage.
Okay.
And then the second one would be 11 damage.
Okay. Bree unloads both blasters into this, and it falls over, slumps down dead.
Wow.
Now that you look at it, Bree, you've seen these before. This is called a Strill, so you know what it is. But
is it venomous at all or anything?
Nope.
Okay, so I shouldn't be worried about, like, Zahn being poisoned or anything.
Yeah. It's kind of a, I think, big dog kind of reptile with a long tail on it.
Okay.
It's really hard to describe.
Bree kind of takes a step towards Zahn to activate bodyguard, just kind of kind of turns her head a little to the right because they're on the right side of the thing.
Are you okay? Can you take this one to the right?
Oh, sure. I'll throw my stick at it.
I'll cover you.
All right, well, Tazi will quick draw both of his pistols.
Okay.
He's got one Pragoon Cavalry blaster and one Relby blaster pistol. He'll draw both with the quick draw action as an incidental. And okay. Then I will take 4 ranks and quick strike. I'm going to attack with both weapons on whichever one of them hasn't gone yet.
Okay, there's the guy on the right side of the path and the guy on the left side of the path have not gone yet. Quint shot the one on the right already.
Then Tazi will aim for the one on the left.
2 purple and 2 black.
Let's see what kind of a hot mess this is. 6 successes, 6 advantages.
Wow. All right, so what is your damage on the first weapon?
So the first shot with the cavalry blaster is 19 damage.
Okay.
And then I will spend 2 advantages to trigger the second shot.
Okay.
And that... damage with the second weapon is going to be 17.
Okay. Feel free to describe his end.
I think one of the shots strikes him dead in the chest, like right between the plates, and then the second shot just goes right underneath the edge of the helmet, right above the collarbone.
Excellent.
And both shots just kind of cause there's a slight bit of impact, but for the most part, the body just drops.
Excellent. Yeah, he could not soak 36 damage or his health. All right. The one on the right has just been shot by Quint. He rushes forward because he no longer has a blaster carbine. He gets close enough. He holds out his left arm, fist clenched, and points it right at you, Quint. What is your defense?
I have a 1 defense.
Okay. So that's just a total of 2 successes with no advantages. So he can't kick in burn as from the top of his wrist, a spout of fire comes right at you, Quint. So you're going to take 8 damage minus your soak. Next PC, who'd like to go?
I'll run over to that guy that just tried to burn up Quinty.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and just punch him with my gloves. I don't need that stick.
All right. Fair enough. It's going to be 1 red, 1 purple, and 2 black dice.
Ends up with 4 successes and 1 advantage.
Excellent. What is your damage?
Damage with these lovely gloves is 11.
You punch him. He doesn't look real thrilled about it.
Maybe I should have hit him with my stick.
All right. It's an NPC's action. As from the other side of the hover cart, not the side Zahn was on, but the other side, so I believe it's the left side, another one of those giant Strills jumps out, and ooh, they're going after Tazi. What is your melee defense?
Yeah, it should be 1 and 1.
All right. We'll go with 1 then. 2 successes and 1 threat. So you take 6 damage minus your soak, and right. What would you like to do with the 1 threat?
I'm blanking on my options, Chris.
You could pass out a blue die to the next person. You could give that creature a black die in its next attack.
That's right. I think I will pass a blue die to the next person because I think we are to the droids now, and I think the droids could probably use a blue die.
Mm. All right. Perfect. D4, seeing that Tazi was just attacked, jumps up. Vibrosword pops out of one arm. See him open up the blaster pistol out of the other hand, and he is going straight after the one on you, Tazi. Oops. To die. He hits with the blaster pistol and jams the vibrosword down, but the Strill slides its head out of the way. It still takes 8 damage. Last person to go is A1 follows D4 in the charge against the Strill on Tazi, popping out his little fusion cutter. 4 successes and 1 threat again. A1 hits him. A1's shot comes right down along the side of the Strill's head, and you see the fusion cutter burns right down and through, and the Strill falls at your feet, Tazi, and it kind of twitches. The threat is it kind of pins you in place. If you want to move, you have to take a maneuver to get out of there. So we're back at the top. So the guy that was standing in the middle of the path, he is going to fire. The only people that have shot at all are you guys, because Sincroc is basically laying down. So he is going to take aim at Bree. Probably not the wisest choice. What is your defense?
2 defense.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 1 success with the blaster carbine. So that's 10 damage minus your soak and everything else washed.
Okay. The shot just hits Bree center mass in the armor, and she just looks down at it. She gets rocked back a little bit. And then, if you could see somebody glare through a helmet, she's glaring at him.
All right. Next PC.
What's the range on him?
Medium.
And does he have any defense?
2.
So 2 black. All right. I'm shifting my bodyguard since Zahn moved away to Tazi, since he's still within engaged. Okay. So that is 3 successes and a triumph.
Okay. And what is your damage?
I think I'm going to use the triumph to kick in my second blaster. Okay. So that will be 14 and 11.
Okay. He takes both shots, does not look very happy, stumbles back a little bit, and glares through his helmet back at Bree. Back to NPC. The one that is standing in front of you, Zahn.
Uh-huh.
He's going to punch you back.
Okay.
I've never rolled so many threats in a game. but still, 3 successes and 2 threats. So you'll take 8 damage minus your soak. And what would you like to do with the threats?
When he comes to swing at me, maybe mm-hmm. he trips over my stick that I threw down before I punched him. Okay. Kind of puts him off kilter or something.
You want black dice for him, or you want the blue dice for somebody to hit him back?
You can go blue dice for the next person.
Perfect. Next PC.
I'm going to perform inspiring rhetoric. Taking a strain to perform it as a maneuver so I can still shoot somebody. So I have to make an average leadership check.
Okay.
And for each success, one ally within close range can recover 1 strain. And each ally affected by inspiring rhetoric will gain a blue die on all skill checks for 3 rounds.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So I rolled 6 successes and 1 advantage. Awesome. So I am assuming I'm yelling something to the point of, hey, come on, we can win this. We have the high ground. That's how it works in Star Wars.
Excellent. So pretty much everybody gets a blue die.
Thank you, Quint.
And you also get to recover one strain. And I assume that also goes for Syncroc.
Okay.
And I'm also going to shoot.
All right. Which one are you going to shoot? The one that's standing there in the middle with nobody around him, or the one that's fisticuffs with Zahn?
I think the one in the middle, because that makes more sense because he's not engaged in combat.
All right. Fire away. I'm going to remember his skill. So it's actually a red, a purple, and two black. And he'll take some strain for using his dodge.
Okay, that's fair. So I got two successes and one advantage. So that is 8 damage.
Okay.
And I would also like to knock him a little bit off balance so that somebody else, the next person to attack him, will get a blue die.
All right. Makes sense. Next PC.
I will try to attack the guy that just punched me, but I would like to kick him.
Yes.
Like, kick him in the side of the knee. Like,
all right. Red, a purple, and 2 black dice.
That is going to be 2 successes, 2 advantages, and a triumph.
Nice.
Awesome. What is your damage? Let's start there.
Damage with my boots is 9.
Wow. Your boots do more damage than my blaster?
Well, she is pretty strong.
That's fair.
Fancy boots. Yep.
All right. What would you like to do with the triumph?
Can I use the triumph to do the specials on my boots?
Yes, you can.
Okay, because they have the disorient 3 and stun 3.
Nice.
So you give him 3 black dice.
Cool. That's why you don't punch me. I'll kick you in the knee. They might be squishy boots, but they still work.
They're only squishy on the inside.
They're only squishy. I got swamp foot.
Next PC. Tazi, you want to go, or you want to, one of the droids to go?
Tazi can go. Who's left?
There's the guy standing in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the guy that Zahn just kicked in the knee, who's kind of spun around in place, holding his leg, because it doesn't look happy.
And Bree's engaging the one in the middle, correct?
I'm shooting him, yeah.
Tazi will engage the one that that Zahn is kicking.
Okay.
And it'll just be a straight range shot with the single blaster. Actually, I'll do the double pistols again. It's fine.
All right. Red, purple, and 2 black.
All right. All right, so 2 successes and 1, 2, 3, 4 advantages.
All right. What's your damage?
The initial shot is 15 damage, and I will spend the 2 advantage to trigger the second shot with my secondary blaster, which would be 13 damage.
All right. Go ahead and describe his end.
As Zahn kicks him and kind of turns him with the knee, there's a real quick sound of 2 blaster shots right after each other. And he takes 2 shots, one in like the shoulder, one in the side, and he just kind of gets knocked over in front of Zahn. Zahn will look back, maybe at Tazi doing one of these, blowing on the pistol barrel.
Thumbs up. Nice shot.
Thanks. Been practicing.
All right. A1 looks at D4. Oh, we can. If we rush, we can get there. And all of a sudden, I'm going to flip over one of these light side points. A1 and D4 rise up out of the back of the hover vehicle and float rather quickly and land on either side of the guy that's still there.
Mm-hmm. Are they surrounded by a green mist, Chris?
It does look like there was some sort of almost green hands floating with them.
Okay, never mind. Questions retracted.
I will start with A1. He's going to try to use his fusion cutter. That's one failure with one threat. That's amazing. So A1 swings with his fusion cutter and misses. D4 is going to attempt to stab with his vibro sword. And 2 failures and 1 threat. Whew. They both swing and a miss. And we are back to the top. It's his turn. Bravely realizing that he has very little chance of survival, he turns and starts running away.
Bree
takes a second to sight down one of her pistols with true aim, and with a muttered curse of
Iptor Jatnator Ashad Kiramnor,
she shoots at him.
All right. Give yourself two blue die because he's not trying to actively avoid you. He's just actively running as fast as he can. Oh, and he still gets his defense of two from his armor.
Yep. Still got that. I just need an extra hand for the extra dice now. I have four successes, a triumph, and one threat.
All right. What is your damage?
15 damage.
Okay. And what would you like to do with the triumph?
I will just do a crit on him.
Okay.
96, so 116.
Oh, well, I guess we're not going to interrogate them.
All right. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it. It's temporarily lame is what you hit, but you did enough damage to actually end his existence.
So permanently lame.
Yes.
Yes. So that's definitely enough to take him out, if you want to describe how he meets his end.
He starts running, and Bree in Mandoa basically says today is a good day for someone else to die, and her shot rings out, catching him just in the back of the helmet, like right where the spine joins the skull, and you can see that the helmet actually caves in under the blaster bolt, and he tumbles into the jungle undergrowth dead.
Excellent.
Well, Bree, I'm glad you're on our side.
Why wouldn't she be?
I mean, D4 paid me, but I mean, honestly, we've all got a ship now. It's kind of, it's sort of a bonus, yes.
Yeah, but did you see that shot that Tazi made?
Yes, did you see the shot that I made that blew up the gun?
That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
I did not see Tazi's, however, I did see Quint's. It was very impressive, yes.
This is all great. We can pat ourselves on the back later, but we just got ambushed. That's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, Quint will nudge Syncroc with her foot. And how are you doing?
He sits up.
Oh, good.
With his arms across his chest in almost kind of a eerie way. Then he just looks at you.
I am fine. Glad I could assist your droids.
Did you take a nap?
And no, not taking a nap.
Okay.
Let's go. And Quint will put the hover cart into high gear.
Bree tries to jump on and then misses horribly as Quint takes off with it.
Ah! Quint will throw on the brakes. Come on, get on.
I'd like to ride if that's okay.
Are you sure? Can we get on? You're not going to pull away again, right?
Yes, that was very awkward.
Just get on.
My dad used to do that. I hate that. Please don't do that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
That was rude of your dad.
He thought it was funny.
Zion, you feel a tug on your pant leg?
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah?
Hey.
Yeah?
Look.
What am I looking at?
That helmet doesn't have a hole in it. That one.
Zion runs over and grabs the helmet. Jams it on her head.
So, Bree, do you recognize this armor?
Do you like my new helmet? She models it.
Chris, is it Beskar?
Once you get up and actually look at it, it is not.
I didn't think so. It was a little too thin.
The normal laminate that they have painted and made up to look as close to Beskar as they can, but it is not true Beskar.
Oh, see, I'm
totally keeping it. Needs washed, though.
And repainted, Zon. Zon, sit down. You're bleeding. D4, would
blood.
You please see
the
Zon?
I am bleeding, actually. Oh, wow. Okay. That is my own blood.
Yes, Zon, he made you bleed your own blood. D4, could you please deal with this?
Can we do it on the cart?
Zon, you're on the cart.
D4, when you're done with Zon, I could use a little shot, too. I got a couple of little dings on me here.
Are you bleeding, too? We're all bleeding. We need to get back to the ship.
I'm okay. It's minor. It's very minor.
Zon, D4 comes over and does some stuff with his arms really fast that you're not really paying attention to, and you heal 5 wounds.
Ooh.
And 3 strain if you have any.
Do you have a Band-Aid? Because they're cool.
And then he...
Whatever. Never mind.
He gives you a little Wookiee Band-Aid.
Aww.
That's so cool. You're the best.
And he hops on the cart and walks over to Tazi.
Is everybody back on? Can I start driving?
Yes, we're waiting on you.
I should have been making medicine checks in that combat. 6 wounds is what you heal, and 2 strain if you have any left. Yeah.
All right.
6 successes and 2 advantages.
Oh, yeah, that's better, D4. Yeah. Thank you. That's better. Shoulder bends the way it should now.
You are welcome. And then he walks over to Sincroc and 7 successes, so he should just keep trying to heal everybody. 6 wounds is what you get to heal.
Thank you.
Washed out on the other stuff.
That's fine. A1, can you turn off the patrol droids inside, please, before we go in?
Yep. Got it. And I've already programmed them to not attack you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Or Zahn, or Bree, or Tazi, or D4.
Handy.
So I picture almost a little Scooby-Doo-esque that we're all on this hover cart and Tazi has the fob and hits, instead of a trunk open, it's a landing, you know, not landing gear. What do you call
cargo
it?
Cargo ramp.
Cargo ramp down, yeah. So the cargo ramp automatically comes down and we all just kind of, you know, zip up it and then it closes. Yep. So we get in and Quinth will look at Tazi. I think we should make a pretty quick exit.
Where are we taking this guy? What was that place again?
Tund.
Tund?
Yep.
All right, A1, you want to hit the cockpit with me? Let's get the route programmed and get out of here.
Yep, will do.
Zahn, let's get you out of those squishy boots.
Oh, yeah. These are gross. I need to dry them out.
If you will follow me, Mr. Sincroc, we can find you a place where you can rest.
Oh, don't you worry about that. I know where I'm needed.
And he starts walking and following Tazi and A1.
So is Sincroc, is that like, is Sin his first name and Croc his last name?
Bree pulls her helmet off and kind of shakes out her head. Her hair's like soaked because it was so humid out there. I think it's more of a single name, you know, like Thornonset.
I just didn't want to get it wrong.
Oh, yeah, you know, like the performer. People who are very eccentric have just single names.
Like Tazi?
No, Tazi has... He's also Vex.
That's a single name.
Well, yes, I guess there you go.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, yes. I mean, well, Tazi is pretty eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
And the door closes on them. You can go back up to the cockpit.
We see Tazi and A1 roll up to the cockpit. A1 rolls up to his co-piloting station and plugs in and starts programming in the route to get to Tund.
Tazi sits down and starts doing the pre-flight checks.
And you know, about a minute later, Tazi, you feel a hand on your shoulder.
Bah! What? What do you want? What? Sincroc, what can I do for you?
I was impressed with yourself and the rest of the crew.
Thanks.
I must tell ye, after you've left me, you must find the one who calls herself the Fox. She will help lift the fog from your crew.
The Fox?
Aye, the Fox.
And the Fox can lift this fog?
Aye.
Tazi looks at Sincroc, like, no expression on his face for a moment.
Got it. If you don't mind taking your seat or maybe going back to the recreation area, this is a much larger ship than our previous ship. There's a lot to do on this ship. There's a lot of places you can go and spend time. This is a working area. We tend to do work up here in the cockpit. Right, Quinth? As Quinth, like, comes up behind Sincroc.
Yes, we do work in the cockpit and other places.
So I was just suggesting to our passenger that perhaps they'd like to spend their time relaxing in another place on the ship more conducive to, you know, relaxing.
We do have a very nice pool.
He smiles at you, Tazi, and then looks over at Quinth.
There's no need for the charade. I quite understand it. I appreciate the attempt, it's true, but you can be honest with me. You'd prefer I went somewhere else?
Yes, yes, I'm happy I can be honest with you. Yes, I would prefer that you were not in the cockpit right now. And I'll be, you know, again, more honest. And that is that your abilities with this green mist, they are kind of off-putting to me, and I would appreciate not being so close to you at this particular moment.
Aye, that's understandable. I apologize for the bounty hunters, too. They're hunting for Jedi, not my order, but it's an easy mistake to make for those as don't know the difference.
And he walks back towards the wreck area of the ship.
And Tazi waits for him to walk out and then looks at Quint.
You want to find out more about his order, maybe?
On the one hand, I'm very curious. And yes, on the other hand, I'm going to remind you, we did say that we were going to not ask any questions about the cargo. But considering the fact that it's a person who seems willing to talk?
Yeah, I kind of feel like this whole deal has not gone the way it was initially sold to us.
No.
So asking questions is probably okay. We were supposed to be picking up a Rodian, right? With a scar on his face?
Well, apparently he was just our...
We were just meeting a Rodian?
Yeah, we were just meeting the Rodian. I thought we were giving the Rodian a ride. That might have been my mistake. But yeah, I'll...
You know...
Isn't it just Jedi and the Sith? Aren't those the two orders?
There's some... We've had some experience in the past with some, I guess, you'd call them gray force users. Or, you know, they're not... They don't pick a side or the other. They're kind of in the middle.
Oh.
Neutral, I guess.
So they're...
So Sendcroc may be one of those neutral people, but I've never seen that green stuff before.
Yeah.
At least not me in neither. A good way.
I'll ask questions about that later. Let me go see if Sendcroc's, you know, going to want to settle in or get something to eat or, you know, I'll make conversation.
Yeah, you know, you could definitely play the role of a good captain, right? Host captain.
Yes, host captain, you know, exactly.
See to the passengers' needs, right?
Yes, although I have a feeling he is not somebody who likes to be manipulated.
Well, don't manipulate him.
Well, I wasn't gonna.
Don't try. You know what? You do you, the things that you do well, which are a lot of things. Go do those things with Sendcroc, and we'll get the route going and get the ship in.
Okay.
On the way.
So Quint will exit the cockpit, and she's gonna think to herself: Does she know anything about Tund?
Make a. Average outer rim check. Oh, so just two purple.
Well, I only have two green, so... I got a single threat.
Not much.
Or I just have a looming sense of foreboding.
Yeah, we'll go with that. That sounds good.
And then, yeah, she'll follow Sendcroc to, play the host.
Okay. You go back and... Sendcroc has found the... galley and is making himself a small snack.
Oh, would you like a sandwich?
Yes, I very much would. So Quint will come alongside and start putting together a sandwich for herself. We also have a very large ice cream locker, if you're interested.
Aye, perhaps later, maybe.
We Thanks. Have a pool, we have a couple of sabacc tables, there's a hollow watching room. There's quite a bit of entertainment if you would like it.
Finishes putting his sandwich together and turns.
Please, just ask the question you want to ask.
What's the deal with the green smoke?
He smiles.
Some are in tune with the real nature of the Force. That's what we use. Others just manipulate the raw energy.
What's the difference between being in tune and manipulating?
One makes a force bend to their will, the others live in harmony with it.
I very much hate to be this person, but I thought that was the difference between a Sith and a Jedi, not whatever you are, because I don't think you're a Jedi.
I am not, no, nor am I Sith. My order of, well, they call us sorcerers, live in tune with nature. It is from nature that the Force flows. We use that.
Cool. What you planning to do on Tund once you get there?
to continue helping others. My gift is to lead others in the direction they need to go.
And he takes his sandwich.
If you wouldn't mind, I am rather tired, and you will need to prepare for your own journey.
Yeah, apparently you know where to go, so you know which room we've prepared. To be fair, we did prepare it for a Rodian, so...
Ah, don't worry. I'll adapt.
Yeah, so if you need anything else, let us know.
I will, and thank you. I would recommend that, in your preparation, you get something a bit warmer to wear. It's cold where you need to go.
Not another ice planet.
My feelings are that some of you have been there before.
Hmm.
And then he walks out and heads towards the quarters.
Quinth finishes making a sandwich and then stands over the sink and eats it. Because she's alone and nobody's watching. Why bother dirtying a plate?
Fair enough. But unless there's anything else you guys want to do on the trip, we can jump from hyperspace to coming out over Tund. You guys come out of hyperspace over Tund, and you find another jungle planet.
Oh.
But Syncroc has given directions to Tazi to land in one of the major spaceports. We see the ship land. He thanks you guys for the journey.
Quinth is standing there in a heavy winter coat, looking confused, and waves goodbye.
Bree's standing behind Quinth, looking kind of down, confused, and then leans over to Zahn.
Did you get any sort of advice about wearing heavy winter gear, Zahn? I didn't get any advice.
None about heavy coats? I don't know.
Okay.
Zahn's waving at the guy.
Maybe Quinth is just really cold. I don't know.
She has fur.
Maybe it's a midlife thing.
So Quinth will just turn around and glare at Bria. I think that's enough. Let's go back inside.
Where it's cooler?
Let's just go back, okay? And Quinth will walk back up the ramp while taking off the coat.
Was it something I said?
Maybe she thought you didn't like the coat.
I mean, it's a perfectly serviceable coat. I've never seen one with black, yellow, and red stripes. It just seems very garish.
Was Tazi out there at all?
Tazi didn't leave the cockpit. He didn't figure we'd be here very long, so he was...
It was fair.
...setting up more checks for the ship, trying to arrange for refueling.
I haven't seen him.
Bet he doesn't have a coat on. Oh, well.
Oh, certainly not. Anyways, I don't think we're staying here then, so...
Well, that guy was kind of cool, though.
He was a little vague in places, just very... He kept on saying things that didn't make much sense.
That's okay.
Look right in front of your face for what you desire? I didn't understand that either.
I thought you were taking a coat off.
I can talk and take a coat off at the same time.
Well, congratulations.
All we had to do was drop this guy off here? That's it?
Yes.
Well, we got shot at.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, does somebody want to tell Tazi that we can leave?
Well, we need to refuel.
He probably has that covered.
Well, where are we going from here?
Well, we have to go back to Finn. You know, we've proved that we're trustworthy, so...
Right, this was the payment for our... the cleaning of the ship.
Some of it.
You didn't give him the credits.
I gave him some of the credits.
Well, it was credits plus doing the job.
Yes, and he expects us to come back.
Zahn sneaks away.
What did you promise him?
I guess we could calm him. I thought he wanted us to come back. I mean, I guess the ship is clean and painted, so...
Except for the one mark along the side, the starboard side.
Yeah, I know.
All right, well, I've got the refueling all set up. It'll just take a few cycles. I won't be too awful long. I'm going to catch a little shut-eye.
Okay. All right, Tazi.
Thank you, Tazi. All right, well, when you decide where we're going, please let us know.
Bree heads off.
Quinth will go to her own room and calm Finn.
Okay.
Yes? What can I do for you?
Our cargo has been dropped off. Is there anything else you need from us?
At the moment, no. I will let you know when I need more.
All right, well, it's been a pleasure doing business with you.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
And he winks as he turns his comm off.
Quinth rolls her eyes and puts the cover on over the holo cam.
1 second. Not very good. Okay. The refueling gets done, and A1 bumps Tazi. Hey, wake up.
Yeah. What do you want, little buddy? Are we good? Are we ready to go?
Yeah, they're done.
Where are we going?
I don't know. I was asking you.
I was going to ask you.
I don't know. But I looked on the holonet. That passenger we had, he mentioned the fox.
Yeah.
I found a mention. Sounds like this fox is working against the Empire. They have a pretty good bounty on her. But all they know is it's a female. They know nothing more than that.
So how
are we going to find her?
On the plus side, we have a bounty hunter with us. Bree probably has some contacts. Quinth probably knows some people in the Spinet. So, I mean, there's two, right? There's two good sources of information, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess we should find out where we're going first. I mean, Quinth heard Sincroc tell us about the fox, right? I mean, Quinth was there for that.
I think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to Quinth.
All right, let's ask our captain where she wants us to go, then.
Yes, let's ask the captain.
Quinth, your comm goes off.
Yes?
Captain?
Mm-hmm?
Your navigator and master inventor would like to know where you would like us to go.
Chris, I would like to use a light point and say that I have researched the fox and actually have a lead.
Okay. The main things you found is the fox never stays in one place long, so it's kind of tough to pin down one, but you do remember that Sincroc told you to go someplace cold.
Right.
And that somebody on your crew has been there before.
A1, lay in a course for Tula.
Excuse me, where?
Tula?
Tula?
Tula, you two have been there before.
Yeah, but is that smart?
Yeah,
I mean, that conclave of, neutral force users was spending time there. The Empire might be there.
Yes, but that's the best lead we have on where the fox is.
Okay. All right.
Or has been recently.
Setting course for Tula.
All right. Then A1 turns the comms off.
Criff.
So we see the camera pan back over, following Sincroc as he's walking through the city here on Tund, and we follow him as he walks through quite a bit of the city and makes his way to a small building on the outskirts. He walks up and knocks on the door. A moment later, the door opens and we see blue-skinned Twi'lek wearing laminate armor, the majority of it's black. It's got some red highlights in between the plates, and the Twi'lek smiles. So, how was your mission? And Sincroc's shoulders kind of droop, and he looks down.
Aye, it was a success. I told them that they needed to find the fox to make their crew whole again. I told them to go back to Tula, as you suggested. It's my belief they're on their way right now.
The Twi'lek smiles, and he steps to the side and motions for Sincroc to enter. And Sincroc slowly walks into the building. And we see a pretty plain, ordinary room. There's a large table in the middle with six chairs around it. There's a hollow emitter in the middle of the table. And on the opposite side of the room, there's one door. Sincroc looks over at the Twi'lek.
I've fulfilled my end of our bargain. Please, let them go.
And the Twi'lek smiles, this devious little smile.
Very well.
You see him wave his hand, and the door on the opposite side of the room opens up. And we see a female Chargwin and a youngling come rushing out of the room. They embrace Sincroc. He turns and looks at the Twi'lek.
And the rest of my order?
Your sorcerers are of no concern to me. Now go. Sincroc turns and walks out the door with his wife and child. And the door shuts behind him, and we see the Twi'lek turn and walk over to the table. He reaches down and hits the hollow emitter. And we see an image pop up on the hollow emitter. And it fills from the table almost to the ceiling of the black armored image of Lord Vader. And the Twi'lek kneels down. Lord Vader, I have successfully led the crew to finding the fox.
You have done well.
Thank you, my lord. Once they have led us to the fox, I look forward to joining you in the destruction of this little insurrection. Once we are done with that, will you grant me an audience with Sidious?
If you are successful, that may be arranged. If you are not successful...
And with that, we see Vader's hand raise up, and we see the Twi'lek eyes get big, and we see his hands slowly creep up towards his neck. Then he smiles and glares back at the image of Vader. And for a moment, we see the Twi'lek begin to breathe. And there's this intense battle of wills between the two. And eventually, we see the Twi'lek grab his throat and begin to choke once again.
Do not fail me.
And with that, the image of Lord Vader vanishes. The Twi'lek gasps and falls to the floor. And as he's gasping for breath, we hear the footsteps from the other room. And we see pink hands grab his shoulders and pick him up. As we see Zahn's mom is there. She kneels down in front of him. My love, we are so close. Once we have destroyed this insurrection and you can become the new apprentice. And the Twi'lek smiles. Yes, my love. Out with the old, in with the new. And the camera fades.
Hey there, this is Kaylee, and thank you all for listening to Redemption. This is the end of our Season 7, and we are going on a bit of a hiatus, and we will return in the fall with Season 8. The announcement I have, though, is Season 8 will be the last season of Redemption. At this point, that is our plan, is to wrap up the show in Season 8. So be sure to be here in the fall when we pick the story back up and we find out what happens to the crew. Thank you all for listening for over 7 years now at this point. We really appreciate all of you.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing system by Fantasy Flight Games and LucasBooks. You can follow the crew on Twitter at RedemptionPod and Instagram at RedemptionPodcast, or check out our website at RedemptionPodcast.com. If you're enjoying our adventures, please leave a 5-star review for us in iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. Support the show by becoming a Patreon at Patreon.com/Redemption. Patreons get outtakes, help create NPCs for us, and get to play with us on occasion as well. Thank you for listening.